I guess I preach in different stages during the year. I like to give you kind of the whole Bible and not just be on one subject or one topic. And every year I like to do a study of the of characters, because I tell you what, when you're around church, you see some characters, amen. And when you look in the Bible, there's some characters, amen. And I like to do a series on the coming of the Lord, because we need to remind our people that the Lord is coming, amen. And I like to do a series on Pentecost, and like to do a series on the doctrines of the church. We need to be reminded of those. We need to talk about evangelism, winning the lost, you know. We need to get souls saved, and every now and then the Lord will lead us to preach on a sermon about hell. I did that a few Sundays ago, amen. So there's a lot in this book, and I haven't even scratched the surface, and Pastor and I are still preaching through this book, amen. I want everything that's in the Word. Amen. I want that. I got a fatted calf mentality, and I'm not satisfied. Amen. I'm satisfied in knowing the Lord, but I know He's got a lot more for me to know. Amen. So tonight I want to begin a series on the 12 disciples of Jesus. I've never preached this series. I tried one time at Living Waters, but back in like 19, Ray Meeks was here, and I know he doesn't remember it because it wasn't that good. All right. But that was probably 20 years ago when I was pastoring here. And, but I want to talk to you, and I'm not going to do it every Sunday. No, I'm going to do it Sunday, whenever I'm preaching the next 12, 13, 14, this might be 14 times, but I want us to look at all 12 disciples. Now, we're going to see three people in all 12 disciples. We're going to see them. We're going to discover who all 12 are. And we're going to not only see them, but we're going to see the one who called them, Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to know Him better because of what we see. We're going to see them. We're going to see Jesus. And we're going to see ourselves. Amen? So let's stand tonight and turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Did you enjoy all this good music tonight? I'll tell you what, we got a good blend here. Amen. We got bluegrass, we've got soul, we've got southern gospel, we got northern gospel and eastern gospel. We got it all. Amen. Hill songs. Hey, we got hill songs and we got hillbilly. Amen. We got it all. Amen. I tell you what, God loves it all. Amen. He made everybody unique and different. Amen. And so you'll see in this study of the 12 disciples how beautiful, you know, God is not a boring God. He is a God of 4K, 8K. He's a God of color, and He's a God of extravagance. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. If you're there, say amen. And it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray. He continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, who he also named Peter. Andrew, his brother. James and John. Philip and Bartholomew. Matthew, Thomas. James, the son of Alphaeus. Simon, called Zelotes. And Judas, the brother of James, and then the infamous one, Judas the Iscariot, which was also the traitor. Father, help us to see them. Help us to see you. Help us to see us. Transform us, God. Conform us, God. You're still calling us to your service. We're humble and we're grateful, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said, I am blessed and highly favored of God. And as you're being seated, turn to somebody, he chose you. Amen. In a service like this tonight, I believe everybody could preach. In our text, we find at the beginning of his earthly ministry, Jesus selected 12 men to follow him. We know them as the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles. These were men who were different in their backgrounds, in their beliefs, in their personalities, in their politics, in their social standing, and in the stages of their life. Yet, from these men, he formed them, all of them minus one, into people who literally changed their world and changed our world. Acts 17 and 6, This is many, many years later. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down." And I pray that in this series that we'll turn our world right side up, because I believe they turned it upside down. And that's a good phrase, but I do believe our world is upside down. Men don't know if they're men. Women don't know if they're women. There's Pride Month. There's this month and that month. There's everything but Holiness Month. And I'm here to tell you that we have a calling, and God is still choosing, and He wants people to know who they are. He wants people to know who He is. And when you know who He is, we can turn our world right side up. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Anybody on board? F.B. Meyer, a great Christian, wrote, "There's nothing that will excite the heart of a Christian more than the retelling of the stories of the Bible heroes and saints." Herbert Lockyer said, "Because the Bible is the biography of humanity, the apostles are well worth studying for their own sakes." Now, if you don't know much about those 12 apostles, don't feel bad. Neither do a lot of preachers. One study said that 8 out of 10 preachers could not name all 12 of the disciples. And I'll have to admit, one of the reasons I'm preaching this series is because I want to know more about all 12 of them. If you don't get anything else out of this series, remember this quote again from Dr. Lockyer. He said, "If Christ could use the best of men who are only men at best, then He can use us." Tell somebody, He can use you. Amen. These were average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, with weaknesses and flaws, just like you and me. And if Jesus uses them, He will use us. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if Jesus were picking His disciples today, or like a corporation, if they were picking the disciples like the corporate world does? What do you think the response from the management consultants, if they were looking at these 12 men, would say? In fact, I kind of come up with this scenario, and I did this email here. It said, "To Jesus, son of Joseph, Woodcrafters Carpenter Shop, Nazareth 35922, email jesuscarpenter.com. This is from the Jordan Management Consultants from Jerusalem, email jmc.org. "Thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for management positions in our new organization. All of them have now taken our battery of tests, and we have not only run the results through our computer, but we have arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational consultant. It is the staff's opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. Simon Peter, for example, is emotionally unstable and given to fits of anger and has been known to use colorful language. Andrew has no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, sons of Zebedee, place personal interest over company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel it our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus, and particularly Simon the Zealot, have political, radical, right-wing leanings, and they both registered on the manic depressive scale in a high score. Thaddeus is definitely sensitive, but because he wants to make everyone happy. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He's a man of ability, resourcefulness. He meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you every success in your... Aren't you glad God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but on the heart? Aren't you glad that Jesus can look past what we are to what He wants us to be? Aren't you glad that He knows you better than you know you? And aren't you glad that you might not be what you used to be? You might not be what you want to be. You might not be what you ought to be, but He can make you what
what you need to be. Somebody give Him praise here tonight. He is worthy. He is calling us. And He has chosen us. The 12 then and us now. Say that with me. The 12 then and us now. And I want to give you three things tonight about the 12. This is the introduction to this. We'll jump right into it Wednesday night. But I want to talk first of all about the personal, number one, the personal salvation of the 12. The personal salvation of the 12. Because they were saved. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He said unto them, what did He say, church? And I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed Him. And going on from thence, He saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And He called them. Somebody say, He called them. And immediately they left their ship and their father and followed Him. Somebody say, they followed Him. Let me tell you something. He chose them, but they also chose Him. I do not believe in election as taught by the Reformed or the Calvinist movement. They teach that God has already predestined those to be saved and those to be lost, no matter what you do, no matter what you say. I do not believe that. I believe in God's sovereign electing choosing, but I also believe in man's will and man's responsibilities, the word I'm looking for, to choose the Lord. You see, He chose them. I'm so glad I was chosen from the foundation of the world. Long before, listen, Charles Spurgeon said, God had to choose me before I was born. He would have never chose me after I was born. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad before there was a sinner on earth, there was a Savior in heaven. But I'm happy to report to you in 1984, under great conviction of sin, that when the preacher preached and my grandmother prayed and a confluence of circumstances, I also chose Him. I fell on my knees and I said, dear Lord, You've called me and I sense Your calling and I know I'm a sinner and I'm unworthy, but I choose You. Will You forgive me? And I'm glad to know that like Simon, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, I said, I'm leaving it all if I have to. And I'm going to follow that man from Galilee. I'm going where He wants me to go. His God will be my God. His people will be my people. Where He goes, I will go. And all thanks be on the Lord. Anybody saved here tonight? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on that sparrow. I wish I could sing it like Quentin. And His eyes is on me. Come on and lift your hand if you're saved tonight. I've been saved, washed in the blood, forgiven. I didn't deserve it. I became a Christian. Amen? Now, there's a lot of people that get the cart before the horse. They try to work their way into salvation. Did you see anything those disciples did at all to get saved? They just said yes to Jesus. Amen. There's a lot of people like, well, if I can do some good works. Have you met these people? Hey, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Well, I give money. Well, I sacrifice some time. Well, I go to church 3 times a year. Well, I sing in the choir on special occasions. That don't tell me anything. That just tells me you're proud about your good works. You're proud about your singing. You're proud about your giving. And I'll tell you something right now. God can't save a proud person. The Bible says you got to be humble yourself. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation, it says that their works do follow them. Some people think their works precede them. They think, I'm going to help an old lady across the street and it's going to go up there to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to just show the Lord how I helped an old lady across the street, how I gave money at the Shriners Fish Fry, how I'm not as bad as Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not an Adolf Hitler. And all you're doing is something like you, your works, your works, your works. Friend, look in that scripture again. They did nothing. You cannot earn. People say, well, I was baptized. Friend, there's not enough water to clean the devil out of you. In the entire oceans of the world, we don't need water. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. He saves us.
Amen. You don't do good works and then get saved. Salvation is not do. Salvation is done. You do not get good to get God. You get God to get good. Amen. There's no one so bad that they cannot be saved. No one so good that they need not be saved. Oh, he's calling you tonight. If you don't know Jesus, respond to his precious call and say yes to the Lord. Don't bring your good works. Don't bring your, well, I'm going to quit this and I'm going to stop that. You need to do it, but you can't do it. If you were going to do it, you'd already done it. Listen, you come as you are. God loves you enough. He takes you as you are, and then he won't leave you like, because we're going to learn. He'll take you as you are, and then he'll make you to what you ought to be. Amen. Somebody say amen. I done messed up my outline so bad. Amen. You see, there must come a commitment to the claims of Christ before he will commit to us the Spirit's power for service. And not only think about salvation. Notice that something I studying today, I kind of saw in a different light. Speaking about salvation, Jesus found them and they were fishers. Did you notice that? They were actually in the process of fishing. Now, this isn't... I know we go to the beach and, you know, it's the summertime and we'll go down at an Indian beach or somewhere, Atlantic Beach or Nag's Head or down to Myrtle Beach or whatever. And we'll get out on a pier, one of those long piers, and man, it's just so fun and fun. That is not the fishing that they were doing. They were not out there just having a vacation. Listen, real true fishermen and people who fish, let me tell you something, it's smelly. Have you ever really seen professional fishermen? I mean, it's messy. You've never seen a professional fisherman with a three-piece suit and a briefcase, have you? Most of the time, they got dirty clothes. Their hair's not got hairspray like mine is tonight. Their hair's messed up. Their skin is tough. And they probably don't smell that good because they're with fish. And if you've ever been around a group of men on a boat that are really fishing, let me tell you something. It's not PG. It's not G. It's not family. It is rated R. I mean, it is language. It is tough and rough. Hey, but guess who showed up right there? Glory to God. Jesus showed up in the mess. Listen, let me tell you something about salvation. You can't get to God. And you might not even feel like you're worthy to get to God. But I'll tell you what, Jesus went to them. He went to the smelly, the dirty, the cussing fishermen and said, hey guys, I love you and I got a plan for your life. Follow me and I will make you. Somebody praise him that he found you. I said, he found you. Amen. And I like the way he said, follow me. He talked to fishermen and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know, Jesus speaks our language. You know, to the farmer, he probably says, follow me and let's go and reap a harvest. Amen. To the athlete, he may say, hey, let's run to win. To the hunter, he may say, let's pursue God. To the sensitive person, he may talk about the grace of God. To the hammerhead, the hard-headed person, he may say, hey, you're going to die and go to hell and I come and do something about it. Amen. You see, God, we're all on different levels, amen? And I'll tell you, no matter what, where you are, whether you're a fisherman, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a computer programmer, whether you're a retail salesperson, whether you're a manager at Waffle House, he may go up to a manager at Waffle House and say, let's put some butter on that waffle, amen, and get some people saved, amen, and tell them how, go taste and see that the Lord is good, amen? Why don't you give the Lord a hand of praise? As of old, apostles heard him by the Galilean lake, turned from home and toil and kindred, leaving all for his dear sake. Jesus calls us, oh, the tumult or our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, come and follow me.
So number one, the personal salvation. They were personally saved by a wonderful Savior. But not only the personal salvation of the 12, notice the powerful transformation of the 12. Because as I've alluded to earlier, he finds you as you are, but he does not leave you like you are. Go back to Matthew 4:19. I've danced all over it, but let me hone on in and make this incision on the operating table now. We've then cleared the spot and we're ready for the incision. Now, Matthew 4, he said unto them, follow me and I will make you. Not you'll make yourself. Not your will evolve into this. Not somebody else will help you. He said, I will make you. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you into what I want you to become. That word make is poleo. It's not an L, it's an I. That's because I'm almost 50 and I can't see without reading glasses. Amen. Which means to make. Listen to this. I will make you. That word make means to make, to do, to create, to produce. We got a lot of people trying to produce. We're talking about this identity crisis what is my identity or what is my gender and stuff like this. People say, well, I was born a certain way. Listen, come to Jesus and he'll put it all together. Amen. I can say, hey, you were born. That's right. We were born that way. But Jesus said, guess what? Follow me and I'll make you to become born again. Amen. Somebody say born again. Amen. He said, I will produce. I will work. I will accomplish. I will perform. I will act. Oh, praise God, somebody. That's good to me. I'm so glad to know it's not how good I perform. It's how good he performs. Amen. And never forget that. You're not a performer. He's the performer. Amen. Oh, sometimes our ministry can go from our heart to our head. Amen. Sometimes our talents can be a great blessing, but they can also be a curse if we're not careful to roll the glory back over to God. For the one that gave it can also take it back. You see, they don't belong to us. People say, well, if I don't get my way, I'll quit this or I'll stop that. Let me tell you who you're not talking to, man. God is hearing that. Amen. You don't tell the maker, hey, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do what you made me to do. You can't do that. One pastor said a man came up to him and said, Pastor, I don't like what you're doing in this church, so I'm going to hold my big tithes. And he was a quite large tither, and it would have made a big difference. The pastor said, oh, my brother, well, let's go and pray about this. So he said, let me lead you in prayer. He said, okay. He said, dear Lord, the man said, dear Lord, I have agreed to rob you. He said, what? My friend, the tithe doesn't belong to me. My talent doesn't belong to me. Hallelujah. He makes me. Amen. He molds me. It is his. Him. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. I turn all the glory over to God. And I tell you something. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Now, I agree with our pastor. I agree with him 100%. You got to work. You do. You got to put some, you're not going to sit at home on a couch with a bag of potato chips and accomplish your all for God. I promise you, you're not going to do that. Why, there's a lost and dying world out there. People are all into gaming. They're all into, the latest series on HBO Max but they can't make it to prayer meeting. There's nothing, anything wrong with gaming? No, unless it's R-rated or something. I've seen some very hideous, I don't think it glorified God to take a gun and blow people's all to pieces. I don't think that's very spiritual. I mean, but as far as gay, listen, I don't know. I'm telling you, I'm not on my sermon tonight. It's just flowing out of me tonight. But listen, there's nothing wrong with watching a TV series, but there's something wrong when we just sit around and we think God is going to bring us a job, God's going to bring us a spouse, or God's going to bring us a powerful ministry. Let me tell you, we do have to be faithful. We do have to pick up a broom and a dustpan every now and then. We do have to say, Pastor, if I can't sing on the praise team, can I help clean the bathroom? Let me tell you something right now. Promotion comes through humility. We got to be willing to say, yes, Lord. We got to be willing to say there's nothing that is beneath me. We got to be willing to let him produce in us. Can I get away? But let me tell you something else. We've got to work, but at the same time, we have to work, but he has to perform. Amen. I can't in my good
talents and my good ability, I cannot open any doors. I cannot do it. He's got to do it through me. To God be the glory. I put forth my sanctified, humble effort. But I say, Lord, what you want to do, here I am. I make myself available, because it is not Ricky Nelms. It is you in Ricky Nelms. It is you. It is you in all of you tonight. Can you say amen tonight? He said, I will make you. Turn around and say to somebody, he will make you. Amen. He will mold you. He will accomplish in you. This old Southern gospel song. Oh, I remember one time in my life when I really needed the Lord to do something. And I, this song, I was driving from Rocky Mount to Greenville when I was 19 years old and didn't know what was ahead. And I had decided this. I didn't know what to do. And my daddy was in the truck in front of me. He had a green Chevrolet, and I was behind him, and it was a little bit raining. And we were on Highway 43 going to Greenville, and on the radio came this song, He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Need to Be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, 'cause he's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. Oh, he's still working on me to make me what I need to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Tell somebody, 'cause he's still working on me. Hallelujah. I said he's still working on me. In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see makes me wonder why he never gave up on me. But he loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter and I'm the clay. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Lift your hand and say, 'cause he's still working on me. Sing it again if you know it. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Everybody, 'cause he's still working on me. Last line, 'cause he's still working. Like you really believe it, 'cause he's still working on me. Amen. He is. Hallelujah. Me? You probably say, me? Are you sure, little old me? Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was very poor. Samson, somebody said, was codependent. Rahab was immoral. David had an affair and all kinds of family problems. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was often depressed. Jonah was reluctant and disobedient. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric. Anybody that wears camel hair and eats wild locust and honey is eccentric. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas was doubtful. Paul had poor health, and Timothy was timid. Now, what's your problem? You know what? He's still working on me. Amen. Thank God for the personal salvation of the 12, the
powerful transformation of the 12, and finally, the powerful delegation of the 12, because he took these men. He took them from the rough and tumble of this world. He didn't go to the finest colleges. He didn't go to the halls of the political power base. He didn't go to the educational institute. He went to where the common, ordinary, everyday man was, and he called them and dealt with them and was patient with them. And we're going to see through all 12 of them the love of God, the transformation they went through. And then finally on Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18, and Jesus spake unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and to earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. These 12 cussing fishermen, they're not all fishermen, you'll find out. They had different backgrounds. But these men who were rough and rugged and broken and hot-tempered at times and who failed and who forsook him, these 12 men went to an upper room with others, were baptized with the Spirit's power, and they went from being 12 to now millions upon millions of people, millions upon millions and generations. They began a movement that will never stop. They are the pillars of the church. And I'll tell you what, you think that was just them? God's using you. Hallelujah. God's got you part of the plan. He's told you to go into all the world. He's equipped you. Yes, you. You need to say, here I am, Lord. Use me. He's not going to bypass anybody that says, Lord, fill me with your power. Thrill me with your power. Help me to beat back the gates of hell, and they shall not prevail. They embraced the call. They paid the cost, and now they wear the crown. They went from being fishers of fish to fishers of men. They put Christianity on the map. Amen? They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the World Wide Web. No wonder they call it the World Wide Web. Too many people get entangled in stuff they ought not to get entangled with. Amen? They didn't have microphones and PAs and beautiful air-conditioned buildings, but they met a man, and his name is Jesus. Dr. S.D. Gordon said in his Quiet Talks on Service, gives a description of Jesus walking down the Golden Street one day, talking with the Archangel Gabriel. And as they are walking along, Gabriel looks at Jesus and says, Master, you died for the whole world down there, didn't you? Yes. You must have suffered much. With an earnest look into that great face with its unremovable marks, yes. Again comes the answer in a wondrous voice, very quiet, but full of the deepest feeling. And do they all know about it? Oh, no, only a few in Palestine know about it so far. Well, Master, what is your plan? What have you done about telling the world that you died for, that you have died for them? What's your plan? Well, the Master is supposed to have answered, I asked Peter and James and John and little Andrew and some more of them down there just to make it the business of their lives to tell others and then others and yet others, until the last man in the farthest circle has heard the story and felt the thrilling power of it. Gordon goes on to say that Gabriel knows us folks down here pretty well. He is the angel Gabriel. He knows humans. He's had more than one contact on earth. He knows the kind of stuff that's in us. So he looks at Jesus with his skeptical look and says, yes, but suppose Peter fails. Suppose after a while that John simply doesn't tell anyone anymore. Suppose their descendants or their successors away off in the first edge of the 20th century get so busy with things, some of them proper enough, some of them not quite so proper, that they don't tell others. What then? And Gabriel's eyes are so big with the intenseness of his thought, for he is thinking the sufferings. He is thinking, too, of the difference to the man. What then? Back comes the quiet, wondrous voice of Jesus. Gabriel's like, what then if they don't do it? Jesus says, Gabriel, I haven't made any other plans. I'm counting on them. Would you stand with me tonight? I said he's counting on them. Tell somebody he's counting on you. You. Yes, you. Oh, we're in a small city. Yes, right here in Wilson. Amen. We're from Whitaker's. Amen. But yes, hallelujah. You don't know where. Let me tell you something. And I'm going to get Sister Darnell to play this song. But Garibaldi, who freed Italy from tyranny, got an army. And he went to recruit some young men. And they said to him, when he went to recruit them to save his country, he said, they asked him, Garibaldi, what do you offer? He said, offer. He said, I'll tell you what I offer. I offer you hardship, hunger, rags, thirst, sleepless nights, foot sores, long marches, privations innumerable, but victory in the noblest cause that has ever asked you. And they followed him, and they took Italy and freed it. And I'm telling you, it may not be easy serving God. It may not be popular answering his call. And you may have to deny some fleshly things that other people can get by with. You may have to say no to sex or no to drugs or no to alcohol. But I promise you, whatever the cost, whatever the privation, whatever the suffering, there's coming a day when his disciples are going to lay down at his feet the sheaves and the souls. And you may have only won one soul, but that one soul may win three. And those three may win between them another 30. And those 30 may win among them. And it all started with you just winning one. Is anybody here tonight hear the master calling? Is anybody here tonight? Can you say you're not worthy? Can you say, how can you say it? I can't do it. No, you're the very one. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And before we play this video, I want you to bow your heads tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, hear his voice. He's calling you. Don't say, I'm a good person or I've done. No, we are all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we are in our own self not able to save ourselves. But here's the good news. A Savior is going by and he's calling you, and you may not feel like you can. You might not feel like you're worthy, or you may feel pulled back because of some vice or sin that wants to keep a hold of you. Answer his call tonight. If you want to answer his call, if you want Jesus Christ to, if you want to say yes to the Master, would you step out of your seat and would you join me at the front? And we want to pray with you tonight. We want to help you to find Jesus tonight. Come on. If you want to know the Lord and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, and you've heard his call, will you say yes? Will you come to him right now? He's touching your heart. He's calling your name. He's showing mercy. You may say, well, I have done so much wrong, but he has done so much right. Come to him tonight. Secondly, tonight, if you strayed from the Lord, maybe you did follow him, but can I tell you some of the, as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, can I gently tell you that all of these disciples followed Jesus and all of them went back for a season? Oh, but the Lord, oh, I want to tell you, but the Lord, hallelujah, he graciously took them back. And if you've strayed away, would you come to him tonight? Come back to him. Come back to your first love. If you've gotten weak and you've gone backwards, come back to the Lord tonight and he will take you back. And then thirdly tonight, you are following the Lord, but you're not going all the way. Will you come tonight and say, I'm going all in. I'm going to get count whatever the cost. If I have a sleepless night, if I have to deny my flesh, I want to follow him fully. Now, I've given three appeals tonight, and I really feel like it applies to every single person this morning. And here's what I want you to do. You can look at me now. And Sister Darnell, are you ready to play that video? Is it right ready? Thumbs up. All right. Well, let's go ahead and play. While she plays this video tonight by Jimmy Swaggart, he chose me. I want you to come tonight. Everyone, would you heed the master's call? Would you be part of one of the master's men and one of the masters? Go ahead and start playing. And I want you tonight to find your place and hear that call tonight and say, Lord, here I am tonight. Go ahead and give me a lot of volume, brother. Oh, come on down tonight. He's calling you tonight. He's calling you tonight. He's calling you tonight. Oh, yes, He is. Hallelujah.
And greater.
Come on and answer His call tonight.
To follow Him.
Oh, follow Him tonight. Amen. Come on down tonight. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm answering the call. Oh, yes. Amen. Come on.
I don't know exactly.
Can you just lift your hands and say, yes, Lord?
And
amen. Yes, Lord.
Today I follow my Lord. It was business as usual.
Business as usual.
For me.
Until I heard Him say,
follow me,
follow me. He's calling.
I left all behind me that day when Jesus said,
come to me,
follow me.
He's calling you.
I emptied myself of my own.
He's calling.
I know where I belong. For
He chose me. If you know it, sing it. He chose me. I couldn't say no.
He said, follow me, and you'll be a picture
of me. And from now on, sing it if you know it.
And
from now on. From now on. From now on. Looking back. He chose me. Not looking back. Are we going forward, church? He's still choosing you, no matter how you feel, no matter what she's going through. Listen.
He chose. He
tonight. He chose us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. Glory to God.
I'm excited about this journey because I need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded. We've got a God's got a plan and a purpose, and we're going forward. Hallelujah. I want you to tell three people tonight, you've been chosen. You've been chosen. God bless you. Stay as long as you'd like. We'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you. You've been chosen. You've been chosen. Keep on following Him. Hallelujah.